So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
My story actually begins on a chilly December afternoon with my friend Sophia, who's a close friend of mine from college. She's actually from Germany. And we had just finished having brunch at one of my favorite places downtown. It's Ocho at Hotel Havana. We had just stepped outside the restaurant. We were done with our meal, and we noticed this old woman with short, disheveled hair, smoking a cigarette. Honestly, she looked like a mess, but, you know, we made nothing of it. We kept going, and as we kind of got close to the parking lot, we heard the following words. "You're a pest, a cancer. Get out of my fucking country." We froze and looked at each other in shock. Was this woman talking to us? Did she really tell us to get out of her country? My friend Sophia whispered to me. We soon came to the realization that this woman was staring us in disgust and looking at us so intently because she had heard us talk Spanish. Donald Trump had just won the presidency only a few months ago when this happened, and he won on a strong campaign to build a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border, and by vilifying Mexicans as rapists who were bringing crime and drugs across the border. So yeah, you're talking to me. And I never thought that I would ever experience this kind of hate that I saw on television, especially in a place like San Antonio. But here I was staring at this woman who was probably homeless and looked like she probably had mental issues. We shrugged and made nothing of it. And it took everything in me not to talk back to her. I remember I clenched my fists and I held tight to my blue scarf that I was wearing that day. I remember everything that I was wearing. I remember it like a flashback. And my friend Sophia told me, "Let's just walk away, don't engage." What this woman didn't know is that Sophia and I were actually talking English, German, and Spanish. Add the fact that my answer to her would probably have been a more complex answer than two words and saying, "Hey, I'm American." If I had a time turner, if I could go back in time and re-engage with this woman, I would tell her this. "My name is Rocio, with an accent on the I, meant to clue you in on how to pronounce my name right. My friends call me Chio, for short. No, my name's not Rocco. It's not Rosario. And my coworker Ian, who is sitting in the audience here, can attest to that. I get it all the time. I'm an amphibian. I'm someone who inhabits two environments, combining two worlds. I've always struggled to choose one passport over another, to explain to a stranger why I decide to speak one language over another, and what country I prefer to live in. It's a struggle to this day. I was born in Mexico to an American father with German roots and a Mexican mother with Spanish roots. I remember dancing in my living room and twirling around in my pigtails, wearing overalls, singing to Luis Miguel songs with my mother, but also watching Disney movies in English with my dad. When I was in first grade, my dad decided to move all of us to San Antonio, Texas, actually, so that his kids could have a truly authentic experience and get better at learning English. And it was confusing at first, don't get me wrong, but I managed to fit in pretty good. And I took everything in with great stride, and it became like a second home to me. But when we returned to Mexico, that's when the struggle really began, because having dipped my toes into another country in a different environment, I was no longer just one thing, and I was, you know, dealing with more than one culture at this time. Oh, and to mention it, to top it off, I was a principal's daughter. So you can imagine, it's not the perfect formula to fit in. And I remember just being during recess, being in the patio behind the school and playing ball with all the students and coming up to the teacher and telling her, "Miss, you know, we want to play jump rope. Can we get the jump rope from the closet? Queremos jugar." And then, of course, the eye rolls would start, and this girl, who I never really liked anyway, came up to me and said, "Rocio, ¿por qué hablas en Spanglish? ¿Te, no suenas, suenas muy pocha? ¿Te crees muy gringa o qué?" I mean, right now I laugh at it, and it's funny, but I mean, when you're a kid and someone says that to you, it really impacts you, and it really boosts, it puts your confidence down. But, you know, I got past it. And when high school came around, I actually moved back to San Antonio to attend college. I went to Trinity, Tiger Pride. And this was a very different experience, right? I surrounded myself with a lot of international students, and I soon realized that what made me unique and kind of made me feel ashamed in the past was something that could be an asset. And it's what made me stand out in the crowd, and it just made me feel proud to have that duality. And, you know, things are always complicated, but things got better. To that woman on the street, I would add, you know, despite my story and having a passport from your country, what if I wasn't a U.S. citizen, you know? Being caught in the middle of two worlds is what pushed me to become a storyteller in the first place, and what later led me to focus on immigration stories and telling, you know, the stories of women, children, and men fleeing unsurmountable violence from the Northern Triangle in Central America. Just like Elie Wiesel said, Holocaust survivor and Nobel Prize winner, no human being is illegal. Yes, I'm that Mexican. Yes, I'm that Mexican who defends the gringos, as they call them, when I'm back in Mexico. And I'm that American in the US who defends the Mexicans when something stereotypical is said about them. It's an interesting dynamic. A few months ago, I was actually riding my bike with my cycling group, and we call ourselves the Hump Day Riders because we ride every Wednesday, and it's kind of like a cool reminder that we're almost to the weekend. And so we were on the east side, and we had a little pit stop at Big Hops, and we were talking about identity and white passing Latinos. Pretty casual topic, I know. And I remember one of my friends, who is also a Latino, he came up to me and he said, you know, Chio, I don't get it, like, you can't be Mexican and American. Like, there has to be a percentage that takes the lead over the other. But what he doesn't understand is that I live beyond the four corners of a stereotype box, and I just don't confine myself to clearly drawn lines or barriers. I constantly jump over them, figuratively and literally. I live in a borderless world, in a kind of limbo state, with all the beauties and the pain. Again, it's complicated. And I've come to a point where I've embraced San Antonio as my home in the most beautiful way. To that woman, I would add another point, and here you go, a little bit of history. In the 1800s, actually, ma'am, English, German, and Spanish was spoken in equal measure in San Antonio. So there you go. And yes, I am that fiery Latina, that girl who found her home on Genther Street in San Antonio, Texas, with blonde hair, who looks German, and a little bit of something else. And it's here that, among this confluence of cultures, in a land dotted by Spanish colonial missions and filled with delicious and unique and crazy taco joints, and by living on a street that coincidentally bears my last name in the historic King William neighborhood, I've found a sense of belonging, of home. Thank you.